Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
And it's lovely to have a company. Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires. Pushing towards the kickoff, Sharks taking on the Warriors. Peter Sterling will join us at 2:30. Get his thoughts in the lead up to that game. And also what has already transpired across this weekend of the NRL. The Bulldogs beat the Eels 12-6. They just keep doing it. Mathematically, the Bulldogs can make the final.
Yeah.
We'll tell you how that can happen shortly. We'll also speak with Adam Elliott, that Tyre Power scoreboard. The Rabbitohs in a terrific game of rugby league last night. Just pipped the Broncos 22-20, and it was the Cowboys who beat the Panthers 24-10. For those of us just sliding gently away from the NRL for a moment, England all out 67 runs at Headingley. It was 112 run lead for Australia on the first innings. Of course, they went back in, lost six wickets, but they are 283 runs in front. 3 days to go. Manus Labuschagne, of course, who came in for Steve Smith under the concussion rule last week and replaced him for this test. He is not out. Another 50 for him. Dell, our cricket correspondent, did you love it?
Oh, I loved it. Archer, mate, he's been bowling at a different level.
Yep.
But then, obviously, you know, for the Australians to bowl the way they have, especially when, like, Mitchell Starc, he's not even getting a go.
Yep.
And, it's just been unbelievable the way they've played. But our batting, something's got to change here. I know a couple of blokes have aimed up. Warner had a 50 but made a duck last night. I stayed up a little bit late last night. We've lost a couple. But Labuschagne, mate, he's got to stay. So
he's a feisty little bloke. I really like him. He caught one in the grill last time, remember, jumped straight up from Jofra Archer, who, of course, did leave the field yesterday. Wasn't serious, I don't think. It might have just been cramped from him. But as a guy just in his second test, they are relying very, very heavily on Jofra Archer. Have you been watching it? No, you don't like your cricket.
I've just been watching the highlights in the morning, Stan. Right. But I haven't been staying up and watching the late ones.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's have a little look at the judiciary before we get to Adam Elliott. Nathan Brown from the Eels. What are you laughing at, Em?
Nothing. Just goods.
Just generally. The Nathan Brown, 2 weeks if he doesn't fight his the shoulder charge. What's going to happen then? I mean, that was a quite brutal moment for him, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, are you talking about Nathan Brown?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the reason that we brought in the new rules, the rule changes?
That's exactly the
reason we'd sort of come down hard on the shoulder charge, because for mine, that was in every essence of the words, that was a shoulder charge. Mm. The elbow looked like it was sort of, you know, connected to the body. He came out of the line, and they're the ones that we're trying to eliminate from the game.
Yep.
So how you can only get 2 weeks for that is beyond me. I mean, look, what about Kikau 3 or 4 weeks here? He got 2 weeks for, you know, coming out of the line and getting a guy that, you know, to me looked like he tried to get his arm around and wasn't that late with kind of no intent.
Agreed.
There was plenty of intent about what Nathan Brown did the other night, and I think him and the Eels are very lucky to only get away with 2 weeks, and it just shows, again, the inconsistencies in the match review committee.
Well, given that Tevita Pangai Jr. goes to the judiciary, doesn't get the grading downgraded, and cops 5 weeks for that is ludicrous.
It's ludicrous.
The shoulder Nathan Brown's shoulder charge was a lot worse, I thought, than Tevita's. And you mentioned the word intent, but you could tell that he was out there to absolutely just smash the other. I know you want to put big hits on, but he tried a couple of times unsuccessfully
to put
a shoulder charge on. So you knew that that's what he was trying to do. And and just the way they fired up afterwards as well, you knew that there was a lot of emotion and intent in that. So I think they're pretty lucky if he only gets the 2 weeks.
You know, that's Nathan Brown that I used to see play at South Sydney. You know, he used to do those sort of, you knew he had some talent, but he'd have regular brain explosion. That was a brain explosion, you know, no doubt. But I've got to say this, mate, Dallin, mate, he's one tough hombre, because not only did he get up after that hit, like, he got blindsided, mate, Sivo's hit on him. Mate, that was one of the biggest hits I've ever seen. Sivo, mate, put his whole body into that, and he got him, and Dallin got up. He's a tough ass.
He's a great – I love the way Nathan Brown plays, and I think he's really important to Parramatta. He drives their line speed and gives them so much confidence as a unit. But he plays so close to the edge, and he just lost his way the other night. He was frustrated, and if they're going to, you know, make any impact in the finals, I mean, he needs to be there, and he needs to make sure that – you know, he controls that aggression because we know there's a lot of players in our game that play on the edge like he does, and every team, every real competitive team needs one, but they need to get it right in the right moments because that was never going to end any other way than the way with him being suspended. There was no other way that was going to end, and he probably wasn't thinking like that. But, and I'm sure Brad Arthur's going to have some words to him because without him, I mean, their finals hopes, in my opinion, are pretty shallow.
But well, he just completely lost his cool because you mentioned that we'd seen that previously from the Nathan Brown of old, but we hadn't really seen it much recently at all. He was always physical. He was always the leader of the pack. And I think one day Sturlo put it so well, he plays as if he has no respect for his body. He just goes in there and tackles and will get in any kind of position. But all of a sudden, it was as if he wasn't thinking properly and completely lost his cool and made such a dumb decision to try three or four times to go and put on a hit like that. Yep. It was just stupid.
And for those who may not have heard earlier, what was the other judiciary news coming out of the Rabbitohs and the Broncos? James Roberts?
James Roberts, with the early guilty plea, will get 2 weeks for the elbow on Corey Oates.
Stupid.
And then Jaden Sewer got two separate charges, one for the high shot on Alex Glenn. That's just a fine. And then the elbow straight after that, it's only a grade one, so he'll get off with the early guilty plea.
All right, and Wendell, I forgot to ask you when we spoke about the game earlier. We talked about South Sydney and what that win meant for them and their chances moving forward. And we spoke about Anthony Seibold. But for the Broncos, that young pack, they have started to fire, haven't they? I mean, Payne Haas is amazing. Fifita also.
Fifita, look, that, mate, I think he two line breaks, those two tries. They're just understanding what they can do now, and they're doing it consistently. And I think Matt Lodge has been pretty good too. He's led them from the front lock. Whenever something happens, surprise, surprise, Matt Lodge is in there. But, yeah, they are starting to find their feet. Andrew McCullough, I think he's playing his best football now. So Seguiaro comes on and does his thing. But, yeah, they're starting to find their feet, and I really like it. Who's the other young guy that comes off the bench? He reminds me of
Flegler?
No.
Who's the bloke who reminds me of that? Carrigan?
I can't think of.
Yeah, Carrigan. Carrigan. Carrigan gets himself, mate, for his size and that, he gets himself in, he compliments, I reckon, those other big, powerful players. But also last night, you could see when the offloads were coming and that's when the Bunnies were doing their best, and that's what Tevita Pangai usually brings to that team, so they're going to miss him, obviously, this season.
We're going to talk to Adam Elliott, the Bulldog star. We are going to look at their road. Should they be able to get to the finals? It would be a remarkable story. And maybe we'll get into the wild card discussion just one more time on Saturday Triple M NRL. My name is Tony Squires. Lovely to have your company. The Bulldogs, now, they got the job done. They just have to keep doing their end of the bargain, don't they? Upholding that. They 12 points to 6 winners over the Eels. They are stringing some wins together. Dean Pay, and there's been a lot of discussion about how he was travelling as the Bulldogs coach, has got them up and running, looking good, playing good, some good footy. As I said, 12 points to 6. Now, there was an 11-point plan needed to get them into the finals. Basically, you're 11-point multi. All right. And so the first two have been knocked over. The Cowboys, they had a win. South Sydney, they had the win. All right. So this is now, we've got the Magic 9.
Yeah, okay.
The Magic 9 to get the Bulldogs into the finals. Unlikely as it may seem.
Yep.
Okay, this round, the Warriors have to beat Cronulla. Newcastle beat the West Tigers. Both of those.
Yeah.
Possible. Parramatta in round 24 beat Brisbane. The Sydney Roosters beat Penrith. Canberra beat Cronulla. St George Illawarra beat West Tigers. Doable.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
All of them doable. This is guaranteed, obviously, the Bulldogs keep
winning. I'm with you.
Well.
I'm fine.
Which would then take us into round 25, the final round. Three legs of the multi would then stand. Canberra would have to beat the Warriors.
Yeah.
I'm taking that. The West Tigers would have to beat Cronulla. And finally, Newcastle would need to beat Penrith. Now, see, when you look at that on paper, there's a reason to believe that every one of those things can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that miracles could happen.
They could.
And that the Bulldogs could actually make
a good point.
The semi-final.
Good point, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, you know what? It brings the discussion back about The wild card final series.
Yes, last year it was Canberra, wasn't it? That you were saying Canberra, you wanted Dragons out, Canberra in?
Well, I didn't want Dragons out. I said it because at that stage they got flogged, I think, by the Bulldog.
They
by
did, 36-0.
36-0, and I was angry. And at the time I just said, maybe, you know, they're playing hopeless. There's no way they're going to turn it all around and play great in the finals, which they then did.
But the good thing about this year, though, Tony, is the fact Sorry.
Oh, he hadn't finished, but anyway,
oh,
you go.
Yeah?
No. And that's what I'm saying. That then I thought Canberra, they were the team. I thought they're flying at the back end. They can't, mathematically, they couldn't get there. Why wouldn't there be a system where
you were talking about the Dragons, though, falling.
Correct.
But this year, and this is what I was about to say, is we don't have any of those. Because the positive about the fact is we've got that bottleneck there. Those two teams in the bottom of the eight that need to win to get there. So everyone this year, I think, in the eight is going to need, other than sort of South Sydney and Parramatta and Manly, I mean, those six could lose a couple of games and still make it.
Yep.
But those bottom two positions that you talk about, they're going to need to be teams that are winning to actually get there this year.
You're right. Which is so a there's good nobody thing. Who's just falling
No
into...
one's going to fall out this year. Like the Broncos, they're going to need to win their next couple of weeks, or whether it's Penrith, whether it's Cronulla, whether it's Newcastle, whether it's the Tigers, whether it's the Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I still like the fact that, we could consider maybe in the coming years having that 10-team final series and having that first weekend of those knockouts. I think that'd be great theatre.
It's just great, the idea. I mean, it is. That's all it is theatre. I'm sure that if my team was travelling well and was at the back end of, the bottom of the eight, I'd hate the idea of having a wildcard system actually
It
happening.
Makes it even more exciting these last couple of weeks. And I think for the broadcasters in the game, it'll keep people going to the games, people watching the game. So... I don't mind the idea.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, the Bulldogs? Any chance, honestly?
Oh, look, no. No. They're playing great football. I've got no doubt they can win the rest of their games, but I just think the teams in front of them, I look at the Broncos, they've got Parramatta and the Bulldogs, which two tough games for them. So, yeah, if they're playing great football.
Yeah, it's been a great work from Dan Payne.
Would that be
season.
The best story of the year? The Bulldogs making the finals.
Mate, it'd be unbelievable because everyone's going wooden spoon. I knew the Titans would get the wooden spoon because they've been rubbish all season. But it'd be unbelievable comeback.
It would be. And just news to hand, Elvis will be playing at Root Hill RSL tomorrow night.
The real one?
The real one. Get your tickets now.
Just think, if they did, have you seen anything like it?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Satellite Triple M, NRL. Del M. Gerds, Tony with you on a Saturday afternoon, all heading towards kickoff at 3 o'clock. As I mentioned, 2:30, Peter Sterling will be in the studio and we'll pick his brains about things that have interested him across the week and also just some look at the games that lie ahead. Em, I just noticed we're going to talk about players on the market. We're going to talk about Jai Arrow right now, but there is a story today in the newspaper about your brother Chris.
Yes, so just having a read then. It's a nice article in the telly from Nick Campton, basically saying it could be Chris's last game at Campbelltown as a Tigers player, possibly, if he doesn't end up re-signing because he's off contract and was a Campbelltown junior. So obviously played all of his junior grand finals there and went to St. Greg's, which is just down the road. So I think it's a nice piece just sort of going through his history and schooling there and everything like that. So hopefully it's not his last game there.
So he's waiting where is it at in terms of contract?
I think... He wants to stay, and I think they want him to stay. Just have to move a few pieces around to be able to manage the cap. And
so, Josh Reynolds, move him on?
I don't know the details. Look, all I know is that he wants to stay at the Tigers. I have no idea if I imagine his managers looked at probably other clubs, you'd have to say.
To be fair.
Chris won't talk to – I never ask him about footy because he shuts all footy chat down.
How can they move Josh Reynolds around? They've got – No, dummy, huh?
Yeah, I know.
Dale's gone and obviously Robbie's retiring, so he's going to be the number nine next year.
Well, Josh Reynolds, of course, a friend to the show, he's back. He's playing in the number nine for this week, which is brilliant news.
That's the night.
And other news from West Tigers. What's the latest? I can't believe that Robbie Farah still believes that he can get back on the field to play a farewell game with his leg broken in 23 places.
he said that if it was, the difference between... playing finals and not, he'd get out there, and he doesn't want to have his last game, one that where he's walking off injured, as opposed to playing at Leichhardt Oval and actually getting a farewell, although he has come to terms, he said, with the fact that he probably won't come back, and he's content with that, given he could have finished his career in reserve grade a couple of years ago. He got the chance to come back, finish where it all started, get his 300th game at Leichhardt Oval with a win, which was such a special night for him. So, but it would be good if he if he could come back for that last. So the chances are very, very slim.
Who's the other young hooker they've had?
Jacob Little just did his.
No, the other young one that they've had.
They just signed one from Brisbane as well. Okay. But he's only super young. He's only about 18, I think.
Just remind him, Wendell Ryan Girdle, your last games, you had prepared for and it was a farewell, or what happened?
2009, we were minor premiers and we went out in straight sets. So the Broncos beat us up there. Dave Taylor ran right down the left-hand side, ran over Sowie about four times. but, yeah, just didn't prepare for it. But I had another year to go on my contract, but then probably about a couple of weeks later, Wayne Bennett gave me a tap on the shoulder and said, mate, you think it's time to move on?
Yeah, so there was no farewell, around the
but
ground.
But I got lucky because I got to play in the All-Stars game. That was my farewell.
Okay, good.
Yeah, mine was a little bit strange because we made the finals in 2004 and we got our last game was a home game. So there was kind of a little bit of a celebration there. But then because I think we finished, not sure what year, we might have finished third or fourth that year. So we got a home semi. So then it was kind of like, yeah, well, you can have a send off now, but then you're going to play here next week. So that made it a little bit weird. And then we got knocked out in the prelim final. So I was kind of hoping my last game was going to be the grand final. So I wasn't really prepared for my last game, to be honest. But, it just happened the way that it did.
All right, well, a man who is preparing perhaps to move on from the Gold Coast, although, well, earlier when we were talking about contract negotiations, it's thought that he would stay at the Gold Coast, of course, talking about Jai Arrow. This is what Brent Reed had to say about negotiations.
Latest suggestions that he will go to market on November 1 and he will be absolutely inundated by offers, Jai Arrow. He's obviously got a year left in that deal, but from November 1 he can go to market and talk terms with clubs. And the latest suggestion is he's going to do that. So he's going to have a fistful of clubs coming at him with a lot of cash.
Gee, that's a good scenario. A fistful of clubs coming at him with a lot of cash.
Usually to get a player to move, especially a guy that's been through through a system, you've usually got to pay more money than the club that they're at. I think in this instance, though, they're probably going to pay less. The Gold Coast are probably going to be the club that are going to have to pay more money to keep him than, some other clubs are to get him away from there, which is a really sad state of affairs for the Titans. But he's got to be an absolute priority for Justin Holbrook and that whole administration. I mean, they cannot let him go, but at the same time, it's all about managing your salary cap, isn't it? And they've made some really poor decisions over the last sort of 18 months to 24 months in relation to, buying some players, and they certainly haven't come through. And if they go ahead now and pay a guy like Jai Arrow overs, it just does more damage to their cap. So they're in a real predicament up there.
Well, the money's going to be good no matter where it is. So in his decision-making process, it's going to be, am I going to play finals footy? Am I going to win a premiership? All of those things are going to come into consideration, aren't they?
Of course, because there's going to be no doubt, I think, over the next few years, not just as a born leader, but when you talk about Queensland, he's going to be captain or vice-captain. It's going to be him and Cameron Munster, I think, the captain of Queensland the next few years. And I know he's well-respected the way that he plays, Jai Arrow. I think Queensland, when he was injured this year, we sort of lost our way a little bit. But, it's funny, when he was at the Broncos, I knew he was an okay player. And then when he moved to the Titans, I just, I didn't think he. And then all of a sudden, like last year's series for me, I just went, wow. I just didn't realise how good Jai Arrow was. But even the way that he talks, the way that he carries himself, he's a player that you want at your club. And he's a player that you'd pay big dollars for on and off the field.
Even though he has been good at the Titans, wouldn't you be advising him, no disrespect to the Titans, to go into a system where you've got better players around you, you've got a coach with proven success in the NRL, with more stability off the field as well, a club that's more likely to make you a better player?
Yeah, it just depends on what you want personally. It depends on the challenge that you want for yourself. He might see himself as a person who doesn't want to move from the Titans. Obviously, his management might be going to market now just to make sure they pay the right price to Titans. I mean, I understand all that. You're not going to play finals football when you're at the Titans, especially the next couple of years, and, there's no doubt in that.
You're one of those clubs with the fistful of dollars. What are you offering Jai Arrow?
I'm offering him $1 million. I think he's a $900,000 to $1 million player. The salary cap's obviously going to go up. He's going to do a job for you week in, week out. He's going to play rep football for Queensland and Australia.
Good.
I think he's probably a tier under Burgess and the like at this point. So if Taumalolo and Burgess are on about $1 million, I would say he's on maybe about $750,000, $800,000. And probably I would just have him underneath Jake Dubojevic, who's probably up just under $1 million. So, yeah, I think he's just a tier under those guys. But, you know, for the Gold Coast to keep him, you know, and then you build into the fact that at the Gold Coast, what's he going to represent, you know, to the fans? Is he going to be the captain? And what's that worth? If he goes to a South Sydney or if he goes to a Manly or
Bulldogs,
or wherever, you know, is he going to have the same, you know, same roles on and off the field at the Titans? I mean, imagine the fan base after the Titans have the season that they've had if they then go ahead and lose their most promising player.
Massive.
Yeah,
and the thing is, if you choose a club that's more likely to win a comp and has a more experienced coach and better players around you, he's not going to get the same money. Because look at Manly, right. Between the Turbo Boys and Cherry, that's like a third of their salary cap.
And that's his decision, is it? Success over, obviously, the financial. Like, he's gonna, this guy's going to play 30 origins. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No doubt.
If he doesn't get in. So he's always going to have that part. And there's a financial benefit there. Obviously, there's 100 grand and obviously all the representative and plays on the big stage. So he'll get that opportunity while he's at the Titans regardless. But it's what he wants to do in the NRL.
We'll follow that developing story as it happens next. So Adam Elliott from the Bulldogs joins us right here. Saturday, Triple M, NRL. Then we are joined by Adam Elliott. G'day, mate. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, the dream is alive. How's it feeling in those rooms at the moment?
Yeah, mate, it's unreal. I've just been with a few friends and family this morning and everyone's talking about the 11 that's now 9 scenarios that could possibly get us in the top 8. And, you know, it's obviously a long shot, but it's a real good vibe and it's great to even just have a conversation about that.
Hey, Adam, it's Emma Lawrence. I know after the last couple of wins, everyone's been saying, what is the difference? But can you put your finger on something? It's been such an incredible turnaround the last month.
Yeah, I think it definitely comes down to the foundation that we've been building in our defence early on in games. And I think you look at four or five of the games that we've won and teams have only scored 6 or 8 points. And you know, I think early on in the year, we probably didn't have as big enough emphasis on that. And over the last 2 months, our consistency to our attitude towards defending our try line's just been it's dramatically changed. And you know, everyone's talking about it. And I think that's definitely what it comes down to.
Adam, Wendell Saylor here, mate. You talk about attitude, and certainly your forwards have certainly set the standard there. But, mate, Lachlan Lewis, can you please tell him he's not 115 kilos? I just love how he just gets in there and takes on the big boys. He doesn't take a backward step, does he?
No, he doesn't, mate. I love it. We had, you know, South the week before with a massive pack, and he turns up and he flew out of the line at that young Jaden Sewer, who's a big bopper himself, and then Manu Mao is probably one of the scariest players in the NRL, and he didn't take a backward step on him. And, you know, the blue broke out, and he's the first one in there looking after his teammates as well. So he's he definitely doesn't take a backward step. And, you know, that's one thing that we all know we can rely on Louis with is, you know, his physicality and competitiveness on game day. It's always there. It's always up there, 9 out of 10.
Hey, just on that, Blue, he came in, but usually everyone's coming in and pushing and shoving at the shoulders and that kind of thing. He comes in and tackles someone around the legs. I don't think I've ever seen that before. What's going on with that?
Yeah, it's a bit of a bizarre tactic, but I don't mind it. I think you hit them where they're weak. And I think he maybe thought he was a chance of, you know, buckling him to the ground and game over from there.
So, what he did,
I certainly haven't seen it before.
What he did say is quite smart. Post-match, he said, because when the fight breaks out, mate, you just nip it in the bud. So get around the legs, and once you sort of stop it, everyone stops. So
did he actually get a tackle for that on the test shirt? Hey, I tell you what, it was an interesting game the other night, Adam. Obviously, a lot of feeling between two clubs that go right back. But Josh Jackson and we saw Aiden Tolman, you know, people getting under their skin. Yeah. We don't see that too often. What was actually going on out there?
Yeah, I think, like I said, there's obviously a big rivalry between us and Parramatta. And whenever we play against them, you know, Belmore, everyone that you walk past at Belmore, they have to chirp up and have their say on the game and make sure you beat these the green and blue. And it's something that's, you know, from me, when I've started playing NRL, that's been the biggest thing I've noticed. Our fans just hate Parramatta. And I think, you know, Jacko and Tolles took that upon themselves as well. And, a few people got under their skin, but I think the boys finished on top.
I tell you what's good to watch is that your super coach, Dean Pay, is right up with Craig Bellamy in terms of riding every move, every attacking move, every defensive set. It's great fun to watch.
Yeah, I think I saw the clip of Kerrod Holland made that line break and put the grubber through for Nick Meaney. He looked like he was cheering Plucky home at the 8th at Belmont.
Yeah.
He, he was out of his chair. I think he even had the whip out as well, Dino. So I love that. I love the passion and the emotion that he puts into it. It's great to, obviously, you don't see it when you're playing, but to look back and see the review, it's a good laugh.
Hey, speaking of passion and emotion, you bought a guy called Dallin Watini Selezniak. Soon as he's come across, I mean, I think at the time you guys needed something. You needed a classy player to sort of, I know you had Josh Jackson there and you've got some really good players, but you needed someone like him. Mate, he's been outstanding for you, but how tough is he? Sivo didn't miss him the other night, neither did Nathan Brown, and both times he bounced straight back up. That must give you, mate, a lot of, energy when you see that.
Yeah, it's the first thing when we do our video review, it's the first thing that we talk about. When he gets the footy on his first kick return and just puts down the hammer, and we tell him that, mate, if you keep doing that, you're going to keep lifting us, and as a forward pack, we're going to be playing better because... You know, that's something that just inspires you. And I think, like you said, when he came over, we lacked a bit of spark. And you see the way that people like Will Hopewadi and Remus Smith are playing off the back of him.
Yeah.
I think they've really complimented each other. And I just love, sitting back, walking back from being a bit lazy from a kick chase and seeing them boys do their thing. It's great.
How is he after that game? Because Cobden knocked at the shoulder and had to go off, get needled and come back on. And there were some suggestions that he might not be right for your last couple of games. Do you have sort of any update with his injury?
No, we've had the last couple of days off, so we're back in there on Monday. I haven't spoken to him about the injury, but he's been chirping up on the team WhatsApp and he's as happy as ever. So if that's anything to go by, I think he might be all right. But as Wendell said, he's a tough and he's an extreme competitor, so... Any chance that he has to get out there, I know he's going to make sure he gets his body right for us.
Yeah, you got a couple of those guys. I mean, Kieran Foran back into the fold over the last couple of weeks makes obviously a big difference to your side. How's he sort of going on a week-to-week basis?
Yeah, really good. He just brings a big calmness to our attack. I think, I've said the word a few times, but the competitiveness that he brings, and I think the key blokes that have been playing great for us, that's, Lockie Lewis, him and Dallin, they just hate losing little contests. And I think that's something that's brought the consistency to our team. Even when Foz has been injured, he's been in doing video and doing his rehab and talking to those young halves and, trying to pass off as much knowledge as he can. And he's someone, for me particularly, he helps me out heaps. We talk footy all the time. We're both footy nerds and, we go for a coffee and it's all we talk about. So he's been great for... Just to pick his brain about all the experience.
Hey, Adam, I see that you're doing a lot of stuff too off the field with the community and that. What's big for you, mate, keeps your mind away from football?
Yeah, I've got an older brother, James, who's got autism, and it's been something since the start of my career I've really wanted to make sure I have a bit of an impact in. And I've actually got a dinner tonight, a trivia night at Club Rivers for Autism Community Network. So
awesome.
That's a really good charity, and it helps the families of people with autism, and they have meeting groups all around Sydney, and it's just a way for people to come and get a bit off their chest and talk about the progress of their kids, and you can be proud, you can cry on a shoulder, and it's just a way of getting those emotions out when families are struggling.
Good on you, mate.
That's such a great cause. We were just having a chat too before about St. Greg's in the last break and about the nursery that St. Greg's is. You went there. The likes of James Tedesco went there, Ryan Hoffman as well. What was it like going there? And they used to bus, hundreds of kids down to those games. What was it like growing up with a school that just loved rugby league so much?
Yeah, it was incredible. I was quite lucky. I only did year 11 and 12 there. So by the time I'd got there, and I was playing first grade, so I didn't go through the ranks with everyone else. But when you're a first grader there, they treat you like royalty, and they get the bus loads of kids down to Campbelltown Stadium or Blacktown when we're playing Patrician Brothers, and they get the drums out and sing the songs, and it's just a really passionate school. And I've said numerous times, I don't think I'd be where I am right now if it wasn't for St. Greg's and the nurturing that they gave me when I needed it.
He's obviously, Dino, you spoke about sort of what he's been doing to your defence, but also away from footy, there's been a little bit of exciting things going on around the Bulldogs, haven't they? Like, he made some big decisions in the middle of the year, let a few players go, brought some players in, and also looks like they're pretty active in recruitment over the next couple of years. So from the Bulldogs' perspective, at the start of the year, it was all doom and gloom, but the back end, you guys are winning games, you're recruiting, you look like you're putting yourself in a fair position for the coming years.
Yeah, I think it's really positive, and the light's not at the end of the tunnel now. It's just around the corner, and I think for us, moving forward, you know, we've got to put our best foot forward these two games and finish the season as well as we can, because we want to roll with that momentum into next year. And like you said, the admin and the coaching staff have done a really good job for the past 6 months of making sure that there's brighter times for us.
All right, Adam Elliott, great to talk to you.
Can we get his tip, though, because he's a footy head? So if something happens and, mm-hmm. and the Magic Nine doesn't come about and you guys fall out and just miss the finals, who do you think's in a good spot to take out the premiership?
I'm on the Green Machine bandwagon.
Yeah, really? What do you like about the Green Machine?
I just think they've got strike all over the park, and you know, those Pommy boys have really stiffened up their whole team, and I think they've come out and played some pretty good footy over the last month and shown those bigger teams that they're not going to shy away from the contest. And I just reckon that their supporter base and everything down there as well, everyone seems to be really riding the wave with them, and I think they're pretty dangerous coming into September, October.
Alright, mate, lovely to talk to you, but for the sake of the Bulldogs, let's hope the Magic 9 continues, becomes a Magic 8 after this afternoon. You'll be listening, obviously, the Warriors have to beat Cronulla, that is kick-off at 3 o'clock, you'll hear it right here, so that dream can remain alive, and good luck tonight with your trivia at Club Rivers, mate.
Enjoy it, mate.
Well
see
done, Adam. Well done, mate.
Thanks for having me on, guys, appreciate it.
Nice to talk to you, buddy. There he goes, Adam Elliott from the Bulldogs. May the dream remain alive. Love to have you company on a Saturday afternoon, and one of my favourite bits is this.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up. The Triple M NRL Stock Market.
Stock market struggling a bit, the real stock market. Good, so I know that you've got a lot going on there. But so just for light relief, we'll go to the NRL stock market instead, because it's not affected by Donald Trump, so far as I understand. All right, I'm going to throw a few things at you, run them at the flagpole, see who salutes, wondering whether you're going to buy, sell, or hold. First one we have is the Cowboys. Now, they had a win last night, which was terrific, but it's been a tough old season. Talk of some disputes, a little bit of infighting. The question I'm going to ask you is, this will be Paul Green's last season as Cowboys coach, Wendell Saylor. You buying, selling, or holding?
No, I'm selling. Oh, look, Greeny's had, I reckon, 8 to 9 like NRL players injured, you know, and like season-ending injuries too. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the start of the year didn't go too well with the Ben Barber situation, so that's not his fault. That's Ben Barber's fault. But, you know, even though he backed him, the club backed him. Nene McDonald, that's not his fault. You know, broke his leg and then obviously Nene got himself in trouble. No, I think Paul Green's earned the right. He brought them a premiership. I think he's earned the right to have like another 12 months with, you know, a healthy roster, get their players on deck. But next year, I think he's under the pump a little bit, yeah.
Okay, Em?
I agree. I'm selling. I think he's got the runs on the board, and it's been a horror year with injuries, particularly in the outside backs. So, yeah, he definitely gets another year.
Okay. I'm good.
Yeah, it's hard to see him doing anything this year. I personally think they need a bit of a change up there, to be honest, Tone. I think their style's flat. I don't think they've evolved over the last sort of 3 or 4 years since they've won that premiership. I know that they've lost some players, but I'm not sure he's getting the best out of the current group. So, I don't think they'll make changes in the off-season, but I certainly think he'll be under some pressure next year if they don't start the season well.
All right. Well, look, this is kind of one that's been bubbled along all season, hasn't it? But we'll put it out there again after another loss. A sad and perhaps finals vying end for the Panthers. The Panthers are overpaying for Ivan and Nathan Cleary. It's, what is it, 5 years, $5 million each. They're overpaying for them. Goods?
Well, I said early in the season, Tony, I believe that they are, and that hasn't changed. So, yeah, I'll buy that. Unfortunately, I think, I think Nathan's potentially on his way to being a million-dollar player. I don't think he's there yet, and I just don't think without, you know, Ivan hasn't won a premiership, and I don't think if you haven't got those sort of runs on the board, I know he's been in the game a long time, they're paying him a lot of money. So I think at the moment, yes, I'll buy.
Okay, Em?
Well... I'm going to hold because they wanted to keep Nathan because they wanted to build the club around him, and maybe they paid on potential, which people do with a lot of clubs do with a lot of players. And realistically, to keep him there, they had to get Ivan. So in order to build your club around Nathan, you'd probably needed to pay that money, and they're not seeing the results at the moment. But I think the results can come. So, yeah, I don't want to criticise too much just yet.
Okay. Still?
I'm selling. I think Ivan's a good coach. I think Nathan's certainly worth the money. There's no doubt, you know, he's a future captain of the club and future leader. I just think they went hand-in-hand. They saw an opportunity to go hand-in-hand. I think long-term it might pay off, but at the moment, no.
Okay, Todd Carney, now we all know his record. We know that he was basically kicked out of the NRL for a number of issues. Certainly the most telling was the photograph inside a toilet block. The indiscretion there. He spoke with MG on the Rush Hour. Just have a little listen to him talking about it.
I put my hand up and dealt with it, moved on from it. Never did I think I was going to get sacked or shipped off to France or England where I went, but everything happens for a reason, and I still went on to obviously achieve a lot of things in England and France, and that I was really proud of, but it's quite sad that that was the end of it.
When we see redemption stories in the NRL quite regularly, and we see guys who we don't believe should be playing or are playing, do we think in hindsight that Todd Carney was unfairly kicked out of the game, Emma Lawrence?
Yes, he was.
You're buying.
Because he was stupid, and I know he'd done a number of stupid things, but he didn't. We've seen a lot worse things, you know, our players harming, you know, other people, whether it be partners or anything like that, and still be allowed in. So I think it was a bit of an overreaction, and maybe ban him for a length of time, but I would have liked to see him get an opportunity to come back into the NRL. I think it was, in hindsight, a little bit harsh.
Okay, Del?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, we've seen players like, you know, Shandor Earl, I think, you know, he done his time, you know, which a lot of us have, you know, I'm the same. And then we've got an opportunity to come back and redeem ourselves. But every time Todd Carney tried to come back and jump through hoops, they wanted him to jump through hoops. And I feel for Todd Carney. I know that he did a lot of things outside just that one last incident and people just said enough was enough. But, yeah, I feel that Todd, you know, he just didn't get to, I suppose, you know, come back to the NRL and leave on his terms. It's unfortunate.
I think it was more the amount of things that he did, Tony, not what he actually did, and the continual sort of over those, you know, 5 or 6 years of just, you know, being in the papers for the wrong reasons, and it all just accumulated into not another Todd Carney story. Like, I like Todd. I think he's a great fella. At that time, I was at the same. I got sick of the bad rap that the game was getting around some of the things that he was doing. So I can understand where the NRL took that. Was he unfairly dismissed from the game? I think he needed a rest. Maybe they could have, you know, let him come back in after a certain amount of time. But I think at the time it made kind of sense to me that, you know, they moved him on for a while.
Okay. And look, this is a one without notice for you because I've just seen that Todd Greenberg, I think his plus one to the basketball in Melbourne was Craig Bellamy. The Storm coach.
I thought it might have been Barb.
Barb Smith, Cameron Smith's wife.
You know, with the ring.
Well,
he'd
offered her a diamond ring. He didn't realise she was married, apparently. Yeah. Okay. Is there too much of a flirtation between Todd Greenberg, the NRL, and Melbourne Storm, Wendell Sailor?
Come on, Wendell. Yeah,
I can understand.
Say it's a joke. Go on. You said it's a joke.
I can understand. But yeah, this is just, Todd, it's just too far. Like, you know, there's the diamond ring and now there's the dinners and stuff. Yeah. And I love Craig Bellamy. He's a good mate of mine.
Mm-hmm. Is he?
Yeah, he is, 100%. Was at the Broncos for 3 years, stay in contact with Bellamy. Okay. He's a good man.
Why can't he? If he was on the Gold Coast doing something, why can't he take Mel Meninga to something?
Yeah, he can, but it just seems to be
Mal's
a lot.
Mal's just the cultural recruitment officer.
It just seems to be a.
Can I hold?
Sorry, guys.
Okay, Sarah, were you talking?
But
just somebody left the washing machine on.
It just seems to me that Todd and Melbourne, there's a bit of a bromance happening at that club, you know.
But is that a problem? I mean, Melbourne seemed to be a club that's it's very important for the NRL but also runs its operations pretty well.
Yeah, I just don't think it's
some dark spots.
Maybe Todd wanted to go to the basketball and have an ear rub.
I don't think it's a good look. I just think he could have asked someone else. Someone else in the NRL should have went. Why wouldn't Todd take his wife?
That's a very
tough.
Maybe he's
going
to take her to the Sydney one. What about what happens now when all the other coaches go, well, I love the NBA?
Yeah, exactly.
What happens when he comes to Sydney?
I want to go and see, you know, the world's greatest showman.
Oh, Hugh Jackman. Outrageous.
Why wouldn't they go to Hugh Jackman and say?
That's right.
And so, did Todd pay for those tickets or were they given to the NRL? Yeah.
I'm tipping the NRL might
have. Well, I mean, you know, why didn't he take someone from the NRL?
So were you buying, selling? I'm not sure
what
how to buy, sell, hold. Not really a question. Are they flirting too heavily with the Melbourne Storm?
Emma.
They are flirting with them, but Does that matter?
Do you like flirting, Emma?
Yeah. Well, you got to do what you got to do, right? Just kidding.
Obviously not flirting hard enough.
Yeah. Zach, did you hear that?
Just kidding.
I love the fact that you are shallower than we are. Shallow as a car park puddle. Reedy's Mail is coming up next. Sterlo joins us at 2:30 heading towards kickoff as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.